I so rely on our first speaker to bring some perspective and cheer to the situation. Barry Rafe, now, he'll be no stranger to any of you. He's going to give us a little bit of an idea about how actuaries can predict the unpredictable in this particular sphere. Barry currently consults to senior management of financial services firms and trustees of large superannuation firms on strategy, governance and high-level operational issues. He's, of course, a past president of the Actuaries Institute, and until recently he worked with the Institute on public policy issues. Barry also runs courses on public speaking, which means there should be a very pleasant 12 minutes, and also on professionalism, and he facilitates conferences. I'm expecting a full report card from him later on. In the meantime, Barry Rafe.
Thanks, Annabelle. And I must admit, I was a bit depressed after seeing that. I want to know what happened to that guy when he got to the top of the hill. Because it's always easier climbing up to these hills, and he's sort of standing there at the top of this hill. How's he going to get down? Or does he just spend all his life at the top of this hill? I don't know. Anyway, my job is to set the scene for the session this morning. I want to talk a bit about the longevity report that the Actuaries Institute prepared last year, and then run a scenario and challenge you to think about the next three speakers through two lenses. One lens is as a professional. You're all professionals here. How do you think about what they're saying from in the advice you give your clients? And secondly, to think of it from the perspective of the profession. So we've got a profession here. How does a profession handle these sorts of issues? What's a professional contribution? So talking about the longevity report. Now, this was a report that we prepared. It was called the Longevity Tsunami. It took us about 9 or 10 months. It was a major effort from the Actuaries Institute. A lot of volunteers put the work together. And one of the things we learned from it was that the way you present statistics to the public is different to the way actuaries use statistics and think about statistics. So I'll give you an example. When I had to present to the superannuation roundtable, so we have this, some of you might know that the Minister, Bill Shorten, has this superannuation roundtable, and he gets about 20 or 30 people, representatives from the industry, together. And basically, we just talk for about an hour or so. He sets the agenda. And the idea is it's supposed to be some sort of, group think, we all get together and agree on stuff. It never happens that way. But anyway, we presented our report through the press, and we managed to get ourselves a 15-minute gig in front of the round table. And I was going to present. I didn't sleep for a week beforehand. I was so nervous, and I practiced my lines and everything. So this is the way I presented it to them. And when I got up, Bill Shorten said, Barry's going to present the actuarial statistics on longevity, and you can see his look of dread come across everybody's face, another actuary getting up. So what I said was this. I said, humans have been on Earth for 100,000 years, approximately, give or take. For 98% of that time, our life expectancy was about between 20 and 30. Most humans died in agony and pain. Most humans died with no teeth in their mouth. Even until the 17th century, almost 50% of humans died at the hands of another human being. So that's basically a pretty major part of our history. And it's only in the last 100 years, the global life expectancy has doubled. Our life expectancy is increasing by about 6 hours a day at the moment, and it's accelerating. So our life expectancy, our improvements are accelerating more in the future than they have in the past. And this was a killer statistic. The chance of a person born now living to age 65 is the same as the chance of a person born 100 years ago living to age 1. Now, anyway, I went through all the statistics, and I looked up, and they were writing this stuff down. It was fantastic. And at the end of the session, Bill Shorten came up to me, and he said, Barry, that was brilliant. He said, can I use those figures in my speeches? Like I've got the patent. Like I'm going to say, no, sorry, Bill, they're my figures. You can't use them. So all these figures were just taken from the government actuaries report and all those sorts of things, but it's just packaged in a way that's dramatic for individuals to understand. And it sort of struck me then the impact that actuaries can have in a public policy perspective by seeing it through the eyes of our audience. Now, all those statistics are pretty useless for actuaries because we can't use those in that form for doing our predictions and our calculations, but they're very helpful for creating impact. And with that report, we've had 70 or 80 press mentions. With that report still getting quoted now. We presented it to government, the Treasury, and the guys who put the intergenerational report together actually said that they've changed their assumptions now on how they predict, and they're using 25-year averages rather than 100-year averages. So we did have a big impact. That was interesting. So what I want to do now is just set a scenario for you and see what you think we should do as a profession. So the scenario is this. In 30 years' time, Annabelle Crabb, at the age of 55, decides to shout herself a body makeover. Now, in 30 years' time, body makeovers are pretty standard. It's a body upgrade because you can print body parts, right? So in 30 years' time, and everybody's doing it, between 55 and 65, where the body starts to slow down a bit, you get a body upgrade. You get all these new parts printed, and your life expectancy increases significantly. But actually, body part printing is a transitional technology, because what the real technology is the experience machine. So in the experience machine, you actually don't need a body at all. All you need is a brain. Brain goes in the experience machine, connects to the NBN, which is why we need fibre to the house, because you need to get significant downloads. So you can connect yourself to the NBN, and you can have any experience you want. And it's just like you're alive. You don't need any body parts. No body parts are going to run out. And so you connect yourself to the NBN, and there's a discount. There's currently a sale on these things because it's new technology. Some of her friends have already got this technology. There's been some deaths, admittedly. Cleaners sort of chipping over the plug and unplugging it from the wall, those sorts of things. But there's been safety precautions built in. So there's almost no mortality from this thing. Maybe one, 1,000 years. So that's a position. So she does that. And she gets this experience machine. As actuaries, how do we think about that sort of thing? Now, there's three ways as a profession we can react to that information. I've given you that information now. The first thing we can say is, well, Barry's an idiot. I mean, he goes on about this stuff all the time, it's bullshit, and there's no way that's going to happen. So we just ignore it. And so when we predict life expectancies, we just do what we do now, which is the control cycle, and we try and estimate and increase the expectancy, which is pretty important for annuities and deferred annuities. So we sign off on the certificates, and that's how we accept it. Or you might say as a profession, well, Barry's not a complete idiot. He's right at least 1 times out of 5. Okay, so 4 times out of 5 we accept he's wrong, but 1 times out of 5 he's right. And what this could be one of those cases. There could be a 20% chance that people who are alive now will be in the experience machine in 30 years' time and will never die. And they might be buying annuities at this point in time. So as a profession, how do we allow for that in our calculations? Do we bring in standards into our professional code of conduct that say, okay, when you value an annuity these days, we've got to assume that death is 150 or earlier. So if you die earlier through accident, then you're dead. But if you're not dead at 150, then we assume you are dead, so all your annuity pensions stop. Do we put out, increased capital, that sort of thing? What if we think that Barry isn't wrong at all? You know, every breath of Barry should be bottled. He's a guru. We've just heard this bit of information that's going to change the way we think about it. So what if we think now that this experience machine is going to happen? How does that change what we do as a profession? Should, as a profession, we be going to the regulator saying, we actually think all these firms are going to be insolvent? No, and we've now got a code of conduct that says actuaries have got to have this way of valuing these products. And what that will mean, of course, is that there will be so much capital backing annuity products that nobody's going to buy them. Okay, so we've ironically spent 5 years trying to argue for a new tax status for deferred annuities so that people can buy them, and yet we now require so much capital that nobody can afford them. So is that a good outcome? So the way I think of it, the way I think of it is we've got three options there as a profession. It seems to me that as a profession, we've got to be careful not to stand on the hill and proclaim on the world. But the reality is that there are organisations at the moment who are willing to put capital behind annuity-type products. So who are we to stand in their way? So the way I think we should think about these sorts of things as a profession, and I'm sort of challenging you to think about this as we go through this sort of additional information. I think what we've got to do as a profession is make sure people understand the issues, but we can't stand on the hill and proclaim on the world about what we think the future is going to hold without having pretty clear information about that. So whilst we can do scenarios and stress testing, I think as a profession... Oh, is that me already? I thought I had an hour.
I'm very low.
Oh, everybody else has got to talk, sorry. So as a profession, we've got to, I think, decide at what point do we think things are certain that we can put professional standards against them, and at what point do we think that it's just non-commercial to do that. And all the while, the regulator understands the issues and businesses are willing to put capital behind things, that we should be signing off on that, but making sure that we stress test to make sure people understand. So that's really the point I want to make to start off before we get through some of the more detailed statistics. It's just think about these presentations through the lens of the profession or as you as an individual about how you would handle some of this information. So I'll hand over back to Annabelle. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. I've